So welcome to our second class in Dancing with the Divine Feminine, our class in investigating the different qualities inward and outward of the Divine Feminine, the Goddess, the Shakti, the dynamic force of the universe. And I'd like to welcome those of you who are here on the call, those of you who are tuning in via the MP3. Also to express my appreciation for the sharings on the listserv and the questions that you all have been asking. It's really always surprising, and more than surprising, really quite exquisite to hear what people experience and how people interact with each other during the vortex that's formed by this class. And my sense of it is that for most of you, the experience of Kali, the experience of this particular fierce and loving form of Shakti, of Divine Mother Energy, has been quite strong and very different for different people. So for some people, it's been bringing up a lot of stuff. For others, it's really been putting you in touch with qualities of courage, qualities of let's say, helpful fierceness. For some of you, it's really been a kind of revelation of the particular love that is characteristic of the Kali energy that we often aren't so aware of because of the ways she's spoken of in the culture and the society. Last week, a friend of mine sent me an article that he had written about the idea of emergence, and this is an idea that's been floating around the scientific world for many years and has also in the last 15 or 20 years become a big word in the spiritual world, especially through teachers like Barbara Marx Hubbard. And the word emergence describes the process by which higher and more complex systems emerge out of comparatively simple systems. And in biological evolution, emergence is the quantum leap. That is, it's that moment in evolution where all of a sudden something that never existed before arises, kind of the way a hurricane, a storm system arises. You know, it appears that there was never anything like that. It was not there, and then it's there. The great example being the way the capacity for language emerged at a certain point in the evolution of human forms out of our simian ancestors. So one way to understand the nature of this tendency for sudden evolutionary leaps to occur, both in the physical, biological world and in our own consciousness, is to understand that evolutionary power as the feminine, as the Shakti, that power of evolutionary intelligence that not only powers the process by which cells grow into complex organisms, but also the process by which our consciousness evolves over a lifetime, over a human lifetime, perhaps over many lifetimes, and occasionally takes what most of us here in this group understand as a genuine quantum leap, an evolutionary leap, in which from having been, let's say, normal, conventional human beings, although I suspect not that many of us in this group were ever completely normal, conventional human beings, whatever that means. Perhaps there's no such thing. But let's say the moment when we were unawakened, when we were, as it were, blind to the subtler qualities in the universe and in ourselves, and then there's a moment when we're suddenly awake to the pulsing energy behind our experience or to the quality of light that exists when we close our eyes and look deeply in meditation. For some of you, of course, that quality has been alive since childhood. For others, as for myself, it very definitely awakened at a certain point in life. And again, as many of you know, that quality in the universe, that quality in nature, that quality in awareness, that that both veils reality from us and also awakens us to the real nature of ourselves and reality. That is what the tantric sages call Shakti. It's what the tantric sages call the evolutionary divine feminine. So that's one way to see the divine feminine. That's as this complex, fundamental creative intelligence that keeps evolving life. Another way to see her is as the force within us that's creating transformation. Another way to see her is simply as the life force. And the way the sages of my tradition see the goddess, they see her in all these ways, but they also understand the goddess as a person, as a divine archetype, as a being who has a specific form, who exists in that form, in subtle worlds, in subtle planes, and who, when we call on her, actually does, in one way or another, answer our call. So whatever the mysterious places in the universe where divine archetypes dwell, we can know that these archetypes, these forms, these deity forms of the Divine Mother, of which there are many, as well as only one, wherever it is that these forms of the goddess live, part of what we're doing as we contemplate her in these weeks together is bringing her forth not only into our collective consciousness as a group, not only into our individual consciousness as meditators, as contemplators, we're also, in a very real sense, helping to make her presence felt more strongly in the world. And we're going to be moving into a deeper and slightly different aspect of the goddess this week. We're going to be contemplating the goddess as Lakshmi, the quality of the divine feminine which brings sweetness to life, the quality of a particular nurturing aspect of the feminine. And before we chant the mantras and do our invocations and our offerings, I'd like to speak to something that Laura brought up in one of the last emails that arrived in my inbox before the class began. She asked the question, what does the Divine Feminine, as we are contemplating her, have to do with the different, let's say, stereotypes of the feminine that are part of traditions? For example, she brought up the fact that in the Taoist tradition, the feminine aspect of reality is seen as yin, as passive, whereas in the Hindu tradition, it's seen as dynamic. And I'd like to answer this question, which is, of course, a tremendously significant question, as we begin, and I'd like to answer it partly from the tradition and partly from some understanding that's been coming through Jungian scholars in the last 15 or 20 years about the fact that both the masculine and the feminine have their yin and their yang aspect. In other words, feminine consciousness is not simply passive. It also has a dynamic dimension. And masculine consciousness is not simply active. It also has a passive dimension. There's a book by a Jungian writer named Genly Polly Haddon, which is very interesting and which I recommend. It's called Sex, Soul, and Spirit. It's about the relationship between the yin and yang masculine and the yin and yang feminine and the human body. And the point she makes is that, for example, the masculine has a dynamic quality that's the phallic quality of the masculine, that it's not just symbolized but epitomized by the penis. And, you know, and the phallic quality of the masculine is thrusting, it moves outward. It's, of course, outside the body. And the yin quality of the masculine, that is to say the quality of containment, stillness, and nurturing, is contained in the testicles. So the masculine genitalia has both a phallic or dynamic thrusting, active outgoing quality, and a containing passive yin quality. And these two aspects of the masculine are actually, they're actually very present in men's lives. Some men are more outgoing, outthrusting. Some men are more contained. But you know, one of the points that she makes is that when we understand this quality about the masculine, when we recognize that masculinity is not necessarily outgoing, but it also contains a yin aspect, then it no longer becomes necessary for men to tune into their own stillness, their own yin qualities, by tuning into what Jung called the inner feminine. In other words, the masculine has its own yin qualities that are very much a part of masculine consciousness. And in the same way, the feminine has both a yin nurturing quality, which is, of course, resides in the body as the womb, and a quality of dynamic, thrusting, transformative activity, which is in that quality of the womb expelling life, giving birth. So one of the ways that she characterizes the Kali energy is as the energy which thrusts the child out of the womb, which, as any woman who's given birth knows, is an unbelievably forceful process. And one of the points that she makes, which again I find very interesting in the light of the tantric tradition, is that the quality of activity, of dynamism in the feminine, is not a thrusting into the outside. It's a bringing forth from within. So, in other words, the nature of feminine activity is transformation from within. Something rises within and then expresses itself by overflowing, by bursting forth, but always starting from a very deep inward place, the womb itself. And this, of course, is the way that the tantric tradition describes the process of creation, that, you know, in which the transcendent awareness, the pure awareness and love, the Shiva Shakti, that the masculine, feminine in total union, you know, are out of their oneness. There is an explosion of blissfulness within, and in that explosion of blissfulness, the Shakti, the feminine, manifests a universe from within herself. So if we understand that the feminine is both yin and yang, just as the masculine is both yang and yin, it helps us to make a little bit more sense of the fact that in the Indian tradition there are fierce goddesses as well as gentle goddesses. Kali, of course, is the epitome of the fierce, dynamic feminine. And this week we're going to be practicing with Lakshmi, who's the epitome of the yin, nurturing, gentle feminine. Lakshmi, in fact, is the quintessence of the feminine, let's say the feminine stereotype, and also of those qualities in the feminine, those qualities in the earth, those qualities in consciousness, which are most sweet and nurturing. So let's bring ourselves, as we begin, into a comfortable upright posture. This week, we're going to be becoming present, among other things, to the body, to the Shakti as she manifests in our physical bodies. So let's start by becoming very conscious of how our bodies feel in the seat at this moment. See if you can bring your attention into your feet with the feeling that you are your feet, the sense of being, the sense of self is in the feet. You may never have done anything like this before. We generally become aware of the body. We don't generally identify ourselves with the body, at least not in spiritual groups. But I'd like to ask you to see if you can feel yourself as your feet. Notice what that's like, to feel yourself as your feet. And if your experience is anything like mine, it's really what begins to happen is that you begin to have a sense of radiant presence, radiant energy, moving in the feet. And now become aware of the place where the base of your posture hits your seat, where your buttocks and thighs meet the seat, and see if you can become your buttocks and thighs, your pelvis. Let your awareness just enter fully into that part of your body. Become the support. And see if you can feel what it's like to actually be that part of your body, the buttocks, thighs, sit bones, seeing if you can feel how you, as radiant energy, are the base of your posture, the pelvic girdle, the hip joints, the thighs, the flesh and bones that meet your seat. Now inhaling, feel yourself as your pelvis, your hips and thighs, your belly. Feel that part of yourself becoming heavy. And exhaling, feel that the breath lifts you up through your spine, all the way up to the crown. And see if you can feel yourself being your spine. The breath flows in and the shoulder blades release onto the back. And you feel yourself as your chest and shoulders. Yourself as radiant energy manifesting as your chest and shoulders. The chest lifts and opens. Your chin drops just a little bit. And now with the inhalation, you have the sense that you're drawing in particles of very tender and auspicious energy, golden pink energy, the energy of the most harmonious, gentle, beautiful aspect of the life force. And with the inhalation, this gentle energy, this soft energy, flows in through your nostrils and you sense it moving through your head. And with the exhalation, you sense that energy, that golden pink energy, releasing any tightness in your forehead or under your eyes. And you inhale, allowing these particles of golden pink energy to flow into your head. Feel this energy radiating through your head, again, releasing the forehead, the jaw, the cheeks. And as the breath draws the energy into the body, you now feel that energy flowing in your neck and your shoulders. And as the golden pink energy flows into your neck and shoulders, you feel it touching and then with the exhalation releasing radiant energy now flowing through your chest the golden pink energy, bringing your awareness again down to the belly. And with the exhalation, you feel the belly releasing. The goddess in the breath, in the form of golden pink particles of energy, of prana, of shakti, flowing in and once again touching the belly. And with the exhalation, you feel a release. With the breath, the energy touches the lower back, the hip joints. And with the exhalation, you feel that part of your body releasing, radiating. And with the breath, the sense of golden pink energy particles flowing into your legs and releasing, again flowing deeper into your legs, down your calves, into your feet. And with the exhalation, you feel the radiance of release. As any tightness or holding or tiredness is gently carried away by the auspicious particles of Lakshmi's energy. And in just a moment, we're going to chant the mantras, the bija mantras for the goddess. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche Swaha. And then we'll recite the invocation and meditate some more. Again, inhaling, you allow the rose pink golden energy of Lakshmi to flow in with the breath. Flow out with the breath. And you can listen or say after me the words of the invocation to Shakti. O power beyond all powers, lover and mother of the universe. You are the life within my life, the breath within my breath. My body, senses, and mind are rays of light from your body of light. They are ripples in the ocean of your splendor. When your eyes open, you manifest as the world, spilling forth as planets and stars, as mountains and rivers, as the tiger's open mouth, as the petals of a rose, as the spiny stems of sea anemones. You have become my joy and my pain, the vastness of my enlightened awareness, and the thorny knots of my confusion. May your love bring joy to all beings. May your power destroy suffering. May we know your light within all that lives. I continue to have the feeling that the breath draws in this very subtle rose, pink, and gold soft energy, the energy of the divine feminine in her most nourishing form, allowing that prana shakti to flow in with the breath, and with the exhalation, allow these particles of Lakshmi shakti to gently flow through the body. And wherever you feel tightness or tension, just feel that the breath seeks out those parts of your body. And you're allowing the Lakshmi energy to flow into those tense places and a knot release, bring attention to those parts of the body that want nourishment and sweetness. When we allow the healing quality in the Lakshmi energy to flow into the body, it heals not just our current tightness, but layers and layers of holding, tension, pain that's been held in the body. So allow her energy to flow with the breath into the body. in the traditional festival of Navaratri, the nine nights of the goddess that celebrated in India, one of the ways in which this festival is understood esoterically is as the process of three phases of sadhana, three phases of practice, and the three phases really of what happens when the kundalini energy, the energy of spiritual awakening, becomes active in us. And the festival is structured so in a kind of a progression which is not entirely accurate or not entirely true to the way we experience it. But the way we're going to practice is in the form of the festival, in order, in sequence. But these three goddesses, Kali, Lakshmi, and Saraswati, in one understanding, actually represent the forces within us, the three basic phases within us that arise in spiritual practice. What we've come to understand, of course, is that this process is not sequential. That is, it happens over and over and over again at different phases in our spiritual life. The Kali phase is the phase of purification. It's also very often the phase of awakening, because as we said last week, the Kali Shakti, the Kali quality, is the quality of dynamic breakthrough. So she exists in the world as revolution, which we're, of course, experiencing a lot in the world these days, as natural upheaval, and she exists in us as the dynamic force of birth, the dynamic force that awakens us out of the deep sleep of our long-time ignorance and actually breaks through our illusions, our delusions. Often that breakthrough happens in the form of a kundalini awakening, but it can happen really through any form of disillusionment, because the spiritual process is a process of disillusionment, of deconstruction of our accustomed ideas, as most of you know very well. So in the Kali-driven part of our sadhana process, we have the opportunity to look into the face of our fears, our dullness, our anger, the various limitations that we hold, and the Kali Shakti in these moments will begin to remove them, eliminate them, sometimes in very dramatic ways, sometimes with a lot of upheaval. And as the Kali Shakti removes those limiting feelings and difficult emotions, sadness, grief, woundedness, all of those qualities of the darker aspect of our consciousness, what in Sanskrit is called tamaguna, tamas meaning darkness, dullness, the quality of being stuck, the quality of inertia. Kali removes that inertia, that darkness, that stuckness. And as each layer of our stuckness is removed, and again, this happens over and over again in the process of transformation, what's revealed is the sweetness, the harmony, the blissfulness, the easefulness, the golden qualities that we call Lakshmi. And so in this phase of practice, let's say that the Kali Shakti has moved through our being, has perhaps done a bit of upheaval. She's certainly not through. There'll be more upheavals in our lives, I can pretty much guarantee you that. But at this moment, we are open to the sweetness and harmony of the Lakshmi Shakti. And one of the things I'd like to say to you as we enter into the Lakshmi energy is that to experience Lakshmi is all about allowing, about receiving, about letting it happen. Sometimes when we begin to contemplate Lakshmi, it brings up a sense of the ways in which we might experience lack, In other words, the ways in which we might experience what's called a Lakshmi, that is to say, the opposite of the Lakshmi quality. So if that's happening, just gently breathe that out and allow yourself to be receptive to the Lakshmi energy that wants to express herself in you, within you, as you, that wants to offer herself to you. I'm at this moment, I'm in California, and it's sunset here in the Carmel Valley, and the color of the sky is very much the Lakshmi color. It's a rosy pink gold, very delicate quality of light, that quality of the sun as it rises and sets carries the quality of the Lakshmi energy. So, Lakshmi, you've received her recent photograph, and the picture of Lakshmi that I sent you is actually it's a very delicate, very modern version of Lakshmi. She's slender, she's draped in flowing clothes, her hair is long. There are many other pictures of Lakshmi. The one that I have in front of me actually is a traditional Indian picture which shows her with four arms. She's wearing a very elaborate golden crown. She has a halo. She's wearing a red sari with gold on it, and lots and lots of necklaces and jewels and chains around her neck. She's literally covered in gold, which is, of course, one of the qualities of Lakshmi. Lakshmi, in the material world, one of Lakshmi's forms is gold. In her two upper hands, two of her hands are raised, and they both hold lotuses. Her lower hands, one of them is in a gesture with the palm open, fingers facing down. And from that hand, there are showering gold coins. And this is her gesture of bestowing boons. The other hand is raised, and you see in the palm of her hand a delicate pink henna drawing. And that hand is in the gesture which says, "Fear not." So Lakshmi holds the lotuses, which symbolize purity, the absolute purity of this aspect of the goddess. She's bestowing boons, and she's dispelling fear. She's reminding us that this universe is endlessly abundant, so we don't have to be afraid, because ultimately we're being taken care of. Lakshmi also is seated on a lotus, and the lotus is resting on the ocean, because Lakshmi she's a fertility goddess. She comes out of the ocean. And I want to tell you one of the stories of how Lakshmi left the world and came into the world, because it's a story that very much expresses the particular delicacy of the Lakshmi Shakti. And the story goes that this particularly irascible sage, whose name is Durvasa, who appears very often in the mythological stories of India, Durvasa found a garland, a beautiful, beautiful garland made of red and pink and white flowers, and he recognized that this garland contained the very essence of auspiciousness. It contained everything that was good, everything that was prosperous, everything that was spiritually and materially abundant. And he, being a renunciate, an ascetic, thought to himself, well, I already have all the auspiciousness I need in my internal meditative world. What I should do with it is I should give this garland to Indra, the king of the gods, who is the protector of the material world, both the subtle material world and the physical material world. And because he's the person who really needs to have auspiciousness in his care. So he approached Durvasa, who was happened to be in he approached Indra. Durvasa was able to teleport himself to wherever he wanted to be. He found himself in front of Indra, who was seated on his throne. And he approached Durvasa. He handed him the garland. Handed him the garland, and Durvasa said, "Your Majesty, I bring you the flowers of ultimate auspiciousness." And Indra looked at the garland. It didn't look that different from the other garlands that were draped around the palace, and he carelessly handed it to one of his attendants, made a gracious but absent-minded speech to the sage, and returned to whatever it was he was doing. And Durvasa, who was an unbelievably irascible sage, was furious. And he said to Indra, "Because you have treated this incredibly significant and auspicious flowers so carelessly, from this moment, all auspiciousness will depart from your world." And from that moment, auspiciousness dissolved. The crops dried up. The oceans dried up. People no longer enjoyed happiness. Sages stopped doing ceremonies. People stopped loving each other. The world seemed to shrivel, and it felt as though happiness had completely departed from the three worlds. And in that moment, of course, as he watched his world shriveling, Indra was overcome with remorse. He realized what he had done. And he and the other gods approached Vishnu, who is the ultimate ruler of the worlds in Indian mythology, and they said, "What shall we do?" Vishnu said, "We must bring auspiciousness back to the world, and this is how we'll do it." And so what he did was he took the gods and their counterparts, the Titans or Asuras, to the ocean of consciousness, and he had the gods stand on one side, the Asuras, who are usually called demons, although they're not demons in the sense that we normally think of demons. They just happen to be very strong, powerful, and selfish, kind of anti-gods. So the gods on one side, the anti-gods on the other, and they began to churn the ocean with a gigantic churning stick, just the way in olden days they would churn butter. And from the ocean began to emerge many, many auspicious articles. But as they churned, the goddess Lakshmi emerged from the ocean, rising on a lotus, so exquisitely beautiful with her golden skin and her lustrous hair and her almond-shaped eyes, her hands shedding coins, that the gods and the anti-gods both began to spontaneously sing hymns of praise. And as soon as Lakshmi emerged from the ocean, all auspiciousness returned to the world. The trees burst into blossom. The grain suddenly ripened in the fields. Happiness returned to human hearts. And Indra vowed that never again would he disrespect a sage or indeed anyone else in all the three worlds. So, of course, the moral of that story is obvious, that to sustain prosperity, to sustain goodness, to sustain happiness, it's incredibly important that we be aware, that we be vigilant, that we be respectful, that we be loving, that we take care of everything around us, because auspiciousness needs to be sustained. And Lakshmi is the goddess of, let's say, the goddess of sustainability. She's the feminine aspect of Vishnu, who in the Hindu pantheon is the deity of sustenance. He's the masculine form who maintains the world, and Lakshmi is the Shakti who allows that to happen. So Lakshmi and Vishnu are an eternal pair of consorts, just as Shiva and Shakti, who's Shakti, Shakti in the Shakti of Shiva is Durga, Kali, Parvati, the fierce forms of the goddess. The Shakti of Vishnu is a very gentle form. And she is the gentle yin form of feminine compassion. She's the compassion of the mother. She's all about the gifts of the earth, abundance in all its forms. She's that which comes to us very naturally when we cultivate the earth in our inner being. And in the Indian tradition, it's said that there are 8 forms of Lakshmi, each of whom is responsible for giving gifts, for giving different gifts. So one form of Lakshmi gives the gift of food, the grain and vegetables that come from the earth. Another form of Lakshmi is the giver of offspring, of children, which are considered highly desirable in traditional societies and also in our own. Another form of Lakshmi is gold. She's about money, gold, jewelry, the forms of wealth that that we can use to purchase other goods. And in India, on the day dedicated to Lakshmi Puja, Lakshmi worship, as many of you know, businessmen will take their cash and their checkbooks and their account books in the old days. Now I guess they take their computer printouts or maybe their computers, and they pile them on the altar, and they offer flowers, incense, sweets, and they worship their money, their wealth, as a form of Lakshmi. And the day in which Lakshmi is celebrated in India is a day of, it's one of the most delicious festivals in Indian life. It's a festival of lights, and it is actually a time, especially if you really do the worship, when you can feel the energy of Lakshmi literally showering you with not so much with physical gold, as with her particular energy, her golden energy. So Lakshmi is money. She literally is money. She's abundance in every form. She's good luck. And I think this is one of the most fascinating qualities about Lakshmi in spiritual life, because one of the gifts that often comes to people in spiritual life is the gift of Lakshmi. There will often be the experience for spiritual people of a job comes, grace shows up in your life. The check comes when you're in despair about not paying the rent. Guidance comes about what the next step is. These are all the Lakshmi Shakti manifesting. And this kind of tidal flow of auspiciousness at certain stages in our practice can actually make us very, let's say, attached to the miraculous aspects of spiritual life. At the same time, what's perhaps more significant as a manifestation of inner Lakshmi is our capacity to be good people in the traditional sense. Lakshmi is the goddess of dharma, of goodness, of integrity, of right action, the kind of action that understands, that comes from understanding what's really needed in a situation, what the right thing to do in a situation is, and which also, the Lakshmi energy is what gives us the capacity to recognize our own unique gifts and our unique obligations, and allows us to manifest in the universe in a way that actually helps to sustain the world, to sustain goodness in the world. So if you consider how the spiritual energy unfolds in you, and remember those times in your life when the impulse to do good things for other people, when to be kind, to be of service, to offer in charity, to be generous, when those impulses arise in you and this is really important, not from a sense of duty, but from a deep impulse that comes from within, that comes from the heart. That impulse from the heart is the movement of Lakshmi. It's the stirring of Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is this level of absolute compassion, that absolute giving that comes from beyond the mind, that has nothing to do with the shoulds of life. That's the deep impulse to make life better. Another of the gifts of Lakshmi is sovereignty. She's the source of authority, of genuine authority. Now, of course, these days we have false authority. We have leaders who may have charisma or may have access to funds, who have the gift of speech that allows them to be demagogues, or the gift of speech that allows them to be very eloquent in praise of what's good. But to have the Lakshmi quality of sovereignty is really another thing, a different thing. I think that if you think about someone like Franklin Roosevelt, who actually embodied the quality of sovereignty, or I actually think of Charles de Gaulle of France. Some of you may be too young to remember him, but he was absolutely the epitome of the Lakshmi quality of rulership. Barack Obama, I actually see that quality in him. It certainly was there in the 2008 campaign. Lakshmi's quality of Shri, of auspiciousness, was moving through him. It's hard to sustain that particular quality under the circumstances of life these days, but yet we long for it. We long for our leaders to embody that quality. And in ancient cultures, the ruler was seen as the bridge between heaven and earth. And so when the ruler had auspicious qualities, it was said that they would be reflected in the prosperity and auspiciousness of the kingdom. So Lakshmi is both a source of authority and a source of goodness. And in this sense, the Lakshmi energy was associated in traditional societies with certain qualities of the feminine, so that when a king took a queen, he was supposed to be symbolically marrying Lakshmi. He was marrying the auspicious qualities of femininity, and in doing so, in marrying, in taking a consort who was Lakshmi, he was actually bringing those qualities to the kingdom. And there are even texts in the Indian tradition, which describe how an auspicious Lakshmi-style woman looks, how she acts, how she manifests. Another one of the qualities of Lakshmi is value. So Lakshmi really epitomizes what we value. She values itself. And if you consider what it is that you value, what it is that human beings in general value, what we consider the highest values of human life, you realize that there are qualities like harmony, righteous strength, not power over, but power that helps, generosity, gratitude, the quality of an open heart. These are all the compassion. These are all the qualities of Lakshmi that manifest in human personality and that we value. And most of us, when we look for a mate, when we look for a friend, we actually look for the qualities in that person that we value. Very often we'll look for valued qualities in another person that perhaps express qualities that we ourselves feel that we don't have so much, that we project onto the other person. And by being friends with that person or becoming mates with that person, we take on, in a certain sense, their qualities. They become ours. And it actually works that way. We actually, by spending time with others who hold the qualities we value, we actually do take these qualities on ourselves. It's one of the reasons why in the tradition stress so much the power of company. So if you'd like to stretch for a moment, I encourage you to do that. And we're going to do a meditation on Lakshmi qualities. And we're going to tune into Lakshmi qualities by considering perhaps the Lakshmi-like qualities that you may see in someone that you know or in people that you know. So consider the Lakshmi qualities of beauty, beauty of form, beauty of spirit, and consider someone you know whom you feel carries that beauty, or generosity, or gentleness, the capacity for taking care, for stewardship, the quality of refinement. The ability to create harmony and love. Just as we invoke these Lakshmi qualities, consider that with the inhalation, you're bringing in the qualities of Lakshmi that you see in another person. Maybe not everybody that you, maybe not every one of these qualities is in a particular person, but most of us can think of someone who has, for example, the quality of generosity. And you can breathe that in. See if you can breathe in their generosity and allow it to flow through your body. And then breathe the generosity back to them. Think of someone who has the quality of gracefulness and breathe that quality in and breathe gracefulness back to that person. Just very gently, you're just taking in the Lakshmi qualities, the Lakshmi quality of friendliness, of genuine friendliness. You're drawing that in. And you're breathing it out, breathing it back to the person that you feel expresses the Lakshmi quality of friendliness. And the quality of kindness, who do you know that has the quality of kindness? And breathe that quality in. Let it fill you. And then breathe kindness back to that person. If other thoughts are coming up, just notice the thought and breathe it out. Consider someone who has the quality of benign authority, the capacity for leadership, and draw in that quality of leadership. Draw it in, let it fill you. And then breathe out leadership. And the quality of stewardship, the capacity for taking care. Breathe that in. Breathe it into yourself. to your body. And breathe it out. Breathe in the quality of gratitude. Breathing in gratitude from someone who you experience as having the capacity for gratitude, and breathing gratitude back to that person. And the quality of unconditional lovingness. Perhaps from someone who has given you unconditional lovingness at some time in your life, or perhaps you're fortunate enough to know someone who really incarnates that quality. But you breathe it in, and you breathe unconditional lovingness through your body, and you breathe it back. And as the breath flows in and out, you're allowing the Lakshmi qualities, Lakshmi's abundance of auspicious qualities, to flow into you with the breath, to flow through you and flow out into the world. Harmony, generosity, kindness, carefulness, leadership, beauty, unconditional love, gracefulness, friendliness. Some of these will feel more accessible than others. Any one of these qualities and magnify into the full expression, the full experience of Lakshmi's energy. See if you can keep this breath flowing, the breath of taking in the auspicious qualities of Lakshmi and then breathing them out, and noticing how this practice feels in your body, how it feels in your mind, how it feels to become aware of the qualities that incarnate the highest value of human life, qualities that make our lives sweet, that create goodness in the world, to breathe them in and breathe them out. And if anyone has anything you'd like to say or ask at this point, could be about something that you're noticing or experiencing or not noticing or not experiencing, you can press *7, unmute yourself. there anything you'd like to share or ask anything you'd like to ask? And if you'd like now to renew your posture, allowing the breath to make the base of your body heavy, I just heard a little whoosh in the phone line. So if that's somebody wanting to say something, please say it.
Yeah, Sally, I stayed here. I stayed with you. I was just like feeling, I guess, woozy. I don't know if that's the right word. But I was sitting here doing the meditation and listening to it, but I was kind of felt like swimming as well.
You mean there's a kind of an energy moving through your body that's kind of putting you into another state?
Yeah.
Yeah. And does it feel uncomfortable?
No.
Okay.
I'm also aware of places that are still tight.
It sounds to me as though the Lakshmi energy is moving in your body. It's often when that energy moves, your body will move, and there'll be energetic sensations inside your body, and that's sometimes you feel sleepy. I suspect there's some people there who feel a little bit sleepy, and these are also symptoms or signs of the energy coming into your body. So it's actually fine, and it's what's happening is that the energy is opening up your inner body, your subtle body, and perhaps your physical body as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if it feels uncomfortable, just open your eyes and breathe in the kind of normal way for a while, and then go back into the meditation. And if it feels fine but unfamiliar, let yourself be in a kind of experimental, exploratory space with it, recognizing that, above all, that this energy that we're practicing with is real. It's not just something we're making up, that actually we are invoking Lakshmi Shakti, and she's going to open up your subtle being in new and interesting ways. So thank you. And you can press *6 and remute yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? So we're going to do a short meditation with the Lakshmi mantras that I sent you this afternoon, and then we'll talk about another couple of qualities of Lakshmi, and then we'll do one of my favorite Lakshmi meditations, which has to do with her presence in the physical body. So the mantras that I sent you, some of you have them and some of you probably don't. So I'll say them. And we'll do it as a kind of a spoken chant, so you don't have to close your eyes if you would like to read the mantras, but refresh your posture so that, you know, you breathe in and let the base of the posture get heavy. You exhale and allow the upper body to lift up through that grounded base. You inhale and let the shoulder blades come onto the back. You exhale and let the chest lift and open, and feel that your head is resting on the neck so that there's a 90-degree angle between your chin, between the underside of your chin and your neck, and bring the sides of the ears back so that the head is more aligned with the neck. Often we tend to pull our neck forward or back, so it's very good to consciously align the head and neck. And with your awareness, allow the breath to bring your attention into the heart, into the center of the chest. Feel that with each breath you become aware of a golden energy in your chest, a golden light in your chest, which some of you may visualize and some of you may just energetically feel is there. And this golden energy is Lakshmi energy within your heart, within your heart center. So the breath flows in, touches this golden energy, flows out, radiating through your chest, radiating out behind your body to all sides. And we're going to offer these mantras as a form of worship, as a form of literally mantric offering to the Shakti of Lakshmi in the heart. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. 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 See if you can feel the syllables resonating inside the chest. Om, the universal vibration of that manifests all the worlds. Shrim is Lakshmi's seed mantra, and this syllable, as it resonates within us, actually brings forth the energy of Lakshmi. Lakshmi Bhyo means to Lakshmi. Namaha means I offer salutations. So Om Shrim, I offer my salutations to Lakshmi, who is in the form of this powerful and mysterious seed syllable, Shrim, which incarnates the qualities of auspiciousness, love, and manifest prosperity and abundance. Aum Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Aum Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Aum Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. And silently, Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Now allow the breath to flow in with Shrim, Shrim, S-H-R, long I-M, Shrim, 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 flowing in with the inhalation, dropping into the heart. Lakshmi's Bija, Shrim. this week in your homework assignment, in the contemplative homework assignment, I'm going to ask you to perform Lakshmi-inspired actions in several ways. You may not be able to do them all, but my experience is that when you begin to practice with these Lakshmi-like qualities in moments in your daily life, you actually begin to incarnate the quality of Lakshmi in yourself. I know that many of you do this already. Nearly all of you here are very, very familiar with the essential qualities of auspiciousness and how we manifest them. The essential teaching about Lakshmi, which is an essential teaching of the goddess tradition, of the tantric tradition, is worship Lakshmi by becoming Lakshmi. Worship Lakshmi by becoming Lakshmi. The whole secret of deity practice in its essence is to take in the energy of the deity and allow it to divinize your body and your life. So some of the qualities of the sacred feminine as Lakshmi are the energy of balance, the quality of holding space. Lakshmi holds space in which others can be nurtured. Lakshmi manifests as financial discipline, conservation. She's the ability to not only attract abundance, but to hold it, to sustain it, and to allow it to flow to others. And so one of the ways that we actually worship Lakshmi is to perform an act of what is for you the appropriate kind of financial discipline. Of course, it's different for all of us. For some of you, it may be putting money in your savings account. For some of you, it may be buying yourself something beautiful. You know, it's the idea here is to allow yourself to express Lakshmi in your use of money, perhaps in a way that you don't normally allow yourself to do, to write a check to a charitable organization, to give money to someone on the street. There are many ways of expressing Lakshmi's abundance through the way you handle money. To imagine as you write a check or pay a bill that you're Lakshmi, that you're using this money, that you're offering this money as Lakshmi, as the goddess of abundance herself. And when you practice worshiping Lakshmi by becoming Lakshmi in the way you handle your money, both in conserving it and in using it in such a way as to create beauty, to create goodness, using it generously to others, generously to yourself, but also with an understanding of appropriate measure and balance. Lakshmi really does begin to manifest in your life by creating more abundance in this arena. Giving something away is a very, very beautiful way of invoking Lakshmi. Another way Lakshmi manifests is in clarifying intention. So the principle of getting up in the morning and creating an intention to have a day that's filled with Lakshmi's energy, with her goodness, with her beauty, with her harmony, with the golden qualities of Lakshmi. Simply having a clarified intention for manifesting as Lakshmi in your day is a very beautiful way of bringing her forth. Another way to incarnate Lakshmi is by making things clean. There's actually a principle, it's also in Feng Shui, of that when you clean your house or you clean your body, you do it with the feeling that you're actually opening up the space of your physical environment, the space of your body, to receive Lakshmi. And of course, the traditional mind-clearing practices like mantra and transforming negative thoughts to positive thoughts are also ways of clearing the inner space to allow Lakshmi's auspiciousness to come forth. And finally, the way that I'd like to encourage us all to meditate on Lakshmi this week is to meditate on Lakshmi by loving our body, by incarnating the Lakshmi quality in our body. In other words, to open up to and discern and rediscover the unconditionally loving and nurturing power of the feminine within ourselves as a way of giving love to our bodies. So you can find your meditative posture. And you can put your palm over your upper chest with your fingers resting around the collarbone. And with your palm, feel your body underneath your clothes and the bony structure of your chest wall. See if you can really sense into the fact that underneath the bones of your chest, there's so much going on. There's the trachea and the esophagus carrying food down into the belly and air into the lungs. They're the lungs that are breathing and sending oxygen through the body into the bloodstream. There's the heart pumping blood. So see if you can sense your way into the beautiful complexity of your body in just this one spot. The bones, the skin, the flesh around your chest, and all the organs just inside your chest. And there's so much more. The bones and muscles and organs of the body are so filled with power and beauty and brilliance and service. And as your hand rests against your upper chest, consider the ways in which we've taken the body for granted and the ways in which the body is the embodiment of love. It's the embodiment of Lakshmi. Lakshmi's love expresses itself as your physical body. Your physical body is the gift of the Divine Feminine. She's embodied as you, whether you're a man or a woman. The Shakti is embodied inside the flesh and the muscles and the bones and the organs of your body. And as your hand rests against your upper chest, say to your body in your own way and in your own words, "Oh, my body, forgive me for any ways in which I may have taken you for granted. Forgive me for my unconsciousness towards you. Oh, my beloved body, forgive me for any ways in which I've used you or looked at you without appreciation, in which I've kept myself from recognizing your exquisite beauty and power. Ask your body to forgive you for not seeing, for not knowing, for not recognizing how divine the body really is. And whether your body is beautiful in the conventional sense, or whether it's awkward, or whether it's weak, or whether it's strong, whether it's aging or youthful, whether the body is challenged by sickness, whether the body aches, whether you've developed your body through yoga or strength training or let it go. Just say, body, please forgive me for the ways in which I haven't loved you enough. And then say to your body, feeling your way into your body, say to your body, I love you. And say to your body, thank you. And see if you can feel your way into the body. And as your body, allow yourself to receive these words that come from your mind. Forgive me. I love you. Thank you. See if you can feel how much the body wants to receive this, wants to be recognized and loved. And now let your breath become an offering of love to the body. Let the breath draw in particles of loving energy. The prana shakti from the air. And let your attention touch your feet with the thought that the breath brings love and presence to your feet. And with the exhalation, feel yourself breathing love into your calves, the love flowing up your calves. And with the next inhalation, you sense particles of loving golden pink energy flowing with your breath, breathing in and out of the thighs, offering love into the thighs. Letting the breath bring particles of golden pink Lakshmi energy, love energy, into your hip sockets. The breath touching the buttocks, offering love into the buttocks. Radiating through the whole pelvic region, touching your genitals, touching the bones of the pelvis. The breath flowing into the organs in your lower abdomen. Allowing the breath to flow gently and softly, bringing your attention through the torso and the back. Lakshmi's golden pink energy, particles of Lakshmi's loving energy, flowing into the body, flowing up through the digestive organs, the ribs, touching and opening the lungs, the the heart. Just letting the breath flow up the body, lingering wherever there's a sense of tightness, letting Lakshmi's breath release, radiate through each part of your body, bringing the light of the unconditional loving presence of divine feminine energy into the body, which is her expression, offering Lakshmi in the form of the breath into Lakshmi in the form of the body. The shoulders . The neck, the skull, the brain, the face, your breath and your intention bringing the gift of the unconditional loving presence of Lakshmi into the body. And when the mind wants to distract itself, breathe that loving energy into the thoughts, and then breathe them out. And let yourself be with this very simple practice of breathing Lakshmi's energy into the body, letting Lakshmi love you, love your body, letting the breath as Lakshmi caress the body as Lakshmi. Letting yourself open to be that auspicious, sweet, harmonious, gentle energy of love and abundance. May your evening be sweet, your day be sweet, tomorrow your sleep be sweet, your week be sweet. You'll be receiving meditation homework and questions. And as always, you're invited to share on the listserv, to send me any questions that feel too personal for the listserv. Please sit. Let the breath flow through your body as Lakshmi. Many blessings. Namaste.